Teach me not a thing. Can only get better. Can only get, think it over me. You know, I know that things can only get better.
Zena, I'll always love you.
Welcome everyone to Zener Neuber's podcast, aka XNU. My name is Cass and I will be your pod host. Also welcome back to those of you who have been following this podcast so far. We're now up to episode number 119. This podcast shows all the Zener Neuber subtext stories that are out there that have not been given a voice. So welcome everyone to another XNU show. And for those of you new to the show, welcome and sit back and I hope you enjoy. We have few good things going on this week's show, so we're going to get right into it. First and foremost, the song snippet that you hear this week is D-Ream's Things Can Only Get Better. So check it out on YouTube, go out and buy the CD. Excellent, motivating CD music. And positive choice. So, you know, for all those people who are going out there right now who are going through some difficult times, things can only get better, honestly. So, and those of you who know who you are, you know, not going to mention any names. But, yeah, get out there. Enjoy life. Things could only get better. So let's get into it with the rest of the show. And that means we actually have a video. Well, I did this one, so I'm not going to say someone recommended it to me, but I'm going to recommend it to you. Over at Wolf Video, we've got the movie called Drool, and it was made back in 2009, and it's the winner of 6 Festival Awards, a hilarious and unconventional dark comedy, and the description goes like this. Laura Herring, Mulholland Drive, stars as Honora, who lives a miserable existence with her awful husband until lovely new African-American neighbor Imogene, Jill Marie Jones, helps her see the lesbian light, like Thelma Louise meets Liana with a twist of Little Miss Sunshine. Honora Fleece has gotten in rotten. Her husband is abusive, her children are disrespectful, and she lives in the middle of nowhere feeling like a nobody. Then Imogene Cochran moves into the neighborhood. Imogene sells Kathy K. Cosmetics, makeup for the cocoa-skinned woman. The other neighbors don't like cocoa-skinned anything, but that doesn't stop Imogene and Honora from becoming friends, and, eventually, more than friends. When Honora's husband, Sheb, finds them, all hell breaks loose. But the tables are turned when Honora suddenly and accidentally shoots Sheb dead. Honora and Imogene then pile the kids in the Kathy K car, throw the corpse in the trunk, and ride off on a family road trip to bury Daddy. So check it on out over at wolfvideo.com. I have a link on my show notes for you to go and read and maybe possibly rent it. And by that sound, we have the book recommendations. Now, I actually am the one who am recommending this book, even though it is not out. It is by Ronica Black, and I personally own a few of Ronica's books, and I find her reading to be enjoyable and very intriguing, and very, you get drawn into each and every one of her books very quickly. This book recommendation, which is not due out until December 13th, is called Chasing Love by Ronica Black. And it's description goes like this. Crowded bar girls, shady chat rooms, lesbian parties, women's soccer. You name it, and Adrian Edwards is there, prowling like the fiercest of hunters, focused on a perpetual search for that ever-elusive four-letter word called love. From woman to woman she goes, relentless in her pursuit. Tamara, her best friend since high school, is always there to lend an ear or to roll her eyes as Adrian once again casts aside another woman, ticking off all the things that were wrong about her. So used to the game, Tamara gives her gifts for the hunt-like safari hats, compasses, and old-fashioned looking glasses. Only problem is, they don't seem to help. Searching as if truly blindfolded, Adrian continues on her quest, going from young troubled go-go dancer to an obsessive mail carrier, to a tweaked-out tomboy, to a lusciously aggressive accountant with way more than numbers on her mind. Until one day, Adrian realizes she has to learn to be with the person she's been resisting all along, herself. It is while on this inner journey that a special someone truly steps into view and shakes up her world for good, proving once again and for all that love is never elusive, as long as you love yourself. Chasing Love is a heartfelt journey, one full of humor, sex, startling frankness, gripping reality, and hard-learned life's lessons. So, I'll have a link on my show notes for you to check it on out.
You snapped, haven't you?
And in this quote of the week, I actually decided to go and chase one up. And I've gotten, when a woman steals your husband, there is no better revenge than to let her keep him.
We interrupt our program to bring you a special broadcast.
And here is where I begin my usual dissertation about what's going on in the fabulous world of running and raising money for cancer. As everyone knows, I am running the marathon, and I can tell you by my knees abdicating office and filing for a separation that I am still working on it. Up to about 10 miles. I started my official training program this week, and it's going to be quite difficult to crawl the rest of the distance, but I'm going to get through there. And and I'm over 65% of money's rate for the Lance Armstrong Foundation. I want to say first and foremost, thank you to everyone who has donated. Obviously, all my preaching and all my nagging is paying off because people are putting money in. But I really would appreciate it for those of you who have yet to put in, please, $5. That's all I'm asking, $10. It's not much. Honestly, it's your tall, extra latte, mocha volume-induced coffee cup in the morning for one day. You know, just stay away from any sharp objects or implements and don't let anybody piss you off of that day since you haven't had your hit of caffeine. But if you could kindly donate it, it's for a worthwhile cause. And like I said, I am working on accomplishing this goal. It is officially now 18 weeks of sincere hard training. I've got 3 programs going for it. Today was a light day, so I only ran 5.5K, which is just approximately 4 miles. So it was an easy day, but I can guarantee you that those will be far and few in between, because we start with the heavy mileage coming up real quick and real fast. So once again, please check out my blog spot. Check out and see where the thermometer's sitting, showing you how far we have gotten and how far we have yet to go. And please, $5, $10. I thank all those people who have donated $5 and $10. And for the rest of you, please, please. You know, I'm not asking this for myself. This is for Lance Armstrong Cancer Research Foundation. So give it a thought. Thanks. So I know all of you are sitting there in excited angst, trying to figure out, what is she going to do? Because I left off in the end of the last week's show, something that we all thought was going to end. Well, ta-da! Here it is. I've decided to come back and finish off the series with Rain and Lark. If you remember, back in, as you might recall, which, if memory serves me right, back on episode 12 in the year 2008, in May of 2008, we actually did a story called Provenance, and it was by Debbie Bathurst, a.k.a. Cruz. And we now continue on with that storyline with the sequel to that, which is Indiscretions. I'll have a link on my show notes for where you can actually read along as you choose. And we have to give credit and thanks to Cruz for giving us permission to have that. And here we go. Indiscretions by Cruz. Disclaimers. This is an alternative Uber fan fiction story about two consenting adult women in a sexual relationship who resemble the two hot babes on Xena, Warrior Princess. If this offends you or if you're under the age of 18, please search out a new story. The characters in the story are my own creation. Language, moderate. Love and sex, sexual innuendo between two women. So, part one. Rain rushed into the building nervously, wondering why the director called a meeting with her. She wondered if she had done something inappropriate wrong during her last assignment, but couldn't imagine what she could have done, seeing as how everything went off without a hitch. Calm yourself down, Rain. It's probably just formality, she told herself, trying to calm her nerves as she approached the secretary's desk.
Agent Donovan reporting for my meeting with Director Bailey,
Rain announced to the secretary as she stood stoically in front of the attractive secretary.
I'll tell him you're here, Agent Donovan,
she answered cheerfully with a smile as she looked up to Rain's piercing blue eyes and phoned the director to inform him his next appointment was waiting for him.
He'll be with you in a moment,
she announced as she watched Rain pace nervously about the waiting room. Rain was dressed in a black blazer, black long-sleeved mock turtleneck shirt, and black, neatly pressed, perfectly fitting black darker pants. She checked her clothing over to make sure there was not even lint present that might embarrass her during her meeting with the head honcho. The secretary stole glances of the attractive tall, tanned, and muscular woman with shoulder-length black hair, and chuckled as she watched her check her clothing over nervously. The phone buzzed, and she answered it, and then hung up the phone as she looked up to Rain.
Director Bailey will see you now,
the woman replied with a sultry smile, obviously smitten with Rain.
Thanks,
Rain stammered nervously. Rain had worked for the Secret Service for over 5 years, and had never been called into the director's office for a meeting. She took a deep breath before entering his office, and approached the director's desk, and stood before him.
Agent Donovan reporting his ass, sir,
Rain announced as she stood at attention in front of the director.
Rain, please. You don't have to be so formal. Take a seat and breathe, please.
He answered with a chuckle as he watched Rain breathe a sigh of relief and sat down.
Well, so far so good. If he were pissed at me, he would have already chewed me out,
Rain thought to herself as she nervously tapped her fingers on the chair handles.
Is there a problem, sir?
Rain asked nervously.
Yes, there is, Agent.
He answered as he looked down to a folder on his desk.
Sir?
Rain questioned.
You've been working entirely too much and too far away.
He answered with a smile.
That's why I called you in here, today, to give you a different assignment than your usual covert assignment.
Okay. Rain stammered, wondering what kind of assignment she would be getting next. He handed her the folder he had on his desk.
This is your next assignment, protecting this prominent figure.
He explained as Rain looked over the folder and the expression on her face turned to anger.
Sorry, sir. This isn't protection. This is babysitting, and I can't dissect this assignment, sir.
Rain answered with anger as she returned the folder to him and stood up to calm her nerves.
I'm sorry, Rain. There is no negotiation with this one. You have to take this assignment. You can't turn it down.
He answered as he sat back in his chair and looked up at the tall agent.
Sir, with all due respect, what in hell did I do wrong to deserve this assignment?
She asked with agitation, as she wiped the sweat off her brow as an old feeling of betrayal that she thought she had buried crept back in.
You're my top agent, and highly decorated. Just the person for this assignment, whether you like it or not.
He explained as he leaned forward in his chair.
Then I quit, sir.
Rain answered as she lay her badge and gun on the desk and turned towards the door.
Rain, someone is going to kidnap her, and maybe worse. Kill her.
Damn it, Rain. Just walk out the door. Why should it matter to you after what she did to you?
She thought to herself, as she hung her head and wished she wasn't doing what she was about to do. She turned back to the director and retrieved her gun and badge from the desk.
I see you still care.
He replied happily that Rain reconsidered, knowing the past relationship she had with the person required the protection.
Unfortunately.
Rain answered with agitation at herself, for not just walking out, but she knew no matter what happened between her and the person she was to protect, she still did care enough to not want that kind of demise for her.
Give me the specs in the case, sir.
Rain replied as she holstered her gun and put her badge away.
She has become a very high-profile actress of late, and considering her father is a high-profile congressman, her life has been placed in danger. We think it is someone within her group of handlers, and we need you there undercover to protect her. I personally wanted to handle this case. I fear one of our agents may be involved in the conspiracy as well.
He explained.
Why would they want to do anything to her?
Rain asked, confused.
To get her father to influence his vote regarding his stance with the war in Kosovo. Seems that he will be deciding factors to whether our troops will be pulled out in that region, and there are many people who want our influence there. So they figure by kidnapping his daughter, they will have leverage to get the vote swayed in their favor.
Why me, though? Rain asked, confused.
Because you two were together before, and the perpetrators won't suspect anything by you being there. They will think there has been reconciliation between the two of you. Besides, the congressman specifically asked for you to protect his daughter. Seems he likes you.
The director answered sarcastically. Rain chuckled and shook her head.
Unbelievable.
She replied softly and looked back up at the director.
Does she know what's going on?
Yes, but not about you. Yet.
She's in the next room being briefed on how everything is to be handled from now on. You'll be assigned to her until after Congress meets and places their vote in a week. Come on, let's go in there.
Might as well get it over with. Rain answered with agitation and hesitation, not wanting to face her.
How bad could a week be?
Rain asked herself, but she already knew the answer to her question. Pure hell. What I do for my country. Rain told herself, shaking her head in disbelief, as to how her life just took a dramatic change for the worse. The director and Rain headed towards the room to discuss plans with the woman. Rain wished she could be anywhere but here at this moment, but she knew she would have walked out the door when she had the chance. It took her nearly 6 months to bury her feelings towards her former lover, deep enough to where she could function without wanting to kill someone. Every negative thought she had had then, or the feelings of complete devastation that comes about when someone you loved so much could betray you in such a way, all came rushing back. I guess I didn't bury them deep enough. Rain thought to herself as the director entered the room, followed by Rain. The blonde woman sat talking with another agent as Rain stepped into the room, unnoticed. Her striking appearance, as usual, took Rain's breath away as she glanced over at her. Rain took in a deep breath to calm her racing heart and desire to ream the woman a new butthole for what she had done to her 6 months ago. The woman she once loved more than life itself had now become someone she hated. I guess I don't hate her as much as I thought if I'm standing here willing to protect her with my life. Nah, it's just hate, but I'm just a glutton for punishment. Rain thought to herself as the blonde turned to the director and Rain, standing just behind the boss. Her face lit up at the sight of Rain as her emerald green eyes met angered blues. Tears welled in her eyes as she stood and approached Rain.
Rain, you came.
She replied softly and appreciatively, as she rushed over to engulf her former lover in a tight hug. Rain always loved how this woman felt in her arms, and those feelings rushed back in as she held her. There was a part of her that wanted to hold her and tell her all was forgiven, but she couldn't do it.
I knew you would come back one day.
She whispered in Rain's ear, as Rain put her hands on the woman's arms to peel them off of her and step back.
I didn't come back willingly, Lark. It's my job. Nothing more.
Rain answered dryly as the blue eyes stared into Green's. Lark searched to blues for validity of her last statement, and found nothing but hate in them.
Silly me to have thought something else.
She whispered with disappointment as Rain let her hands go.
Yes, it was.
Rain answered as she stepped away from the shoulder blonde with obvious disdain.
Okay now, if you are asked by reporters about the two of you being seen together again, you're to tell them that there has been a reconciliation and you're both overly ecstatic about it. Oh yeah, can't you see it all over my face?
Rain replied with agitation and sarcasm as she glanced over to Lark to see her reaction of hurt.
Rain, for this to work, it has to be believable. So that means in public, you are to show your normal show of affection as you did before and look happy to be back in each other's lives.
Director Bailey answered with slight agitation.
Explain that you have given up your job as the congressman's aide, which was your cover before to concentrate on your relationship with Lark, and that you'll be assuming duties as a personal assistant, which was held by former Secretary of Service agent posing undercover before she was killed.
You've got to be kidding me! You mean to tell me I have to make it look like I'm giving up everything for her? Rain asked with anger in her voice as she pointed at the blonde.
That's right. The press will eat it up as well as her public.
The director answered.
I swear this is one bad fucking nightmare!
Rain answered in disgust as she ran a hand through her raven hair.
Rain, all you have to do is pretend. This is not real.
The director explained.
She's better at that than me, seeing as how she pretended to love me, and now I have to bow down to her in public. Give me a break!
Rain answered with anger as she stormed out of the room.
Rain, wait, please!
Lark pleaded as the tall woman headed down the hall.
Unbelievable. I'm the jilted lover here, and now I'm made to look like the one who has the cause of the breakup.
Rain thought to herself with anger in her blue eyes as she approached the soda machine and put a dollar in for a Dr. Pepper, which didn't come out.
Fucking machine!
Rain replied with anger as she took the machine and pounded on it. Rain, please, I need your help. Lark pleaded with Rain as she approached.
Find someone else to walk all over like a doormat. Been there, done that, and hated it.
Rain answered with mounting agitation as she shook the machine.
Rain, I'm sorry I hurt you the way I did.
Rain became enraged.
Hurt me, Lark! Hurt me! You devastated me, you fucking bitch!
Rain yelled as she pounded on the soda machine to take out her frustrations.
Rain, please stop! I'll get the soda out.
Lark replied with tears in her eyes from Rain's comment. She grabbed Rain's hands to make her stop, which calmed Rain's temper. She remembered how Lark was able to calm her with the touch of her hand, and didn't want to feel that, and jerked her hands away from her. Lark repositioned a dollar which had fallen out unseen by Rain because of her anger, and pushed a button for a Dr. Pepper, which promptly dropped out of the machine. She handed it to Rain, who snatched it out of her hand.
Oh, look here, Lark to the rescue!
Rain replied sarcastically.
Where were you a few months ago when I needed you?
Rain asked with complete hate in her eyes.
Rain, I know I wasn't there for you, and I regret that. I can only hope that you can put your feelings aside long enough to get through this whole escapade that's happening in my life.
Of course, Lark. Anything for you. Isn't that right?
Rain asked with anger as she walked away.
What are the living arrangements, sir?
Rain asked, knowing she wasn't going to like the answer he was about to give her.
We've set up a new condo for her to live in, which will be free of bugs and hidden cameras. You'll stay there with her, of course.
He answered with a smile to calm the tension he saw in Rain's blue eyes.
I have to stop by my apartment, pick up my clothes and personal items, sir.
Rain explained she drained the rest of the Dr. Pepper and trashed a can.
No problem. Her limo will follow you to your apartment, and then take the both of you to her new condo. The limo is out in the garage basement, and no one will know the two of you have been there as long as you take the secret passage up.
He explains as he looked at his top agent with worry.
You going to be okay? Who the hell knows?
Rain answered with agitation as she exited the office to see Lark waiting in the hallway for her.
I was hoping this was all a nightmare, but I guess not since you're still here.
Rain replied with disgust as she looked at the attractive blonde.
Are you ever going to forgive me?
Lark asked as she grabbed Rain's arm to stop her. Rain looked down at the hand that held her arm and looked up at Lark with stormy blue eyes.
Never!
Rain exclaimed with disdain and anger as she jerked her arm away from Lark and headed down the hallway towards the elevator, followed by an obviously upset blonde.
I guess I deserve the treatment I'm receiving from Rain, but it still hurts to see how much she hates me. I never thought I would ever see that stranger in her eyes, but that's exactly what I see, and I'm the cause of everything.
Lark thought to herself with regret. She kept her head down to avoid looking at Rain as she entered the elevator. The two never spoke a word throughout the elevator ride. They reached the basement and Rain headed straight for the limo, with Lark falling behind.
Dude, no way! I am so psyched you'll be on assignment, too!
Rain replied with excitement, as a smile as she approached the agent posing as a limo driver.
I know! It's great!
The attractive dirty blonde answered as she hugged Rain.
Danielle! How the hell you been? I haven't seen you for so long!
Rain answered with excitement, as she stood very close to the other agent, with her hand still resting on the woman's waist. She was happy Danielle had this assignment because she trusted her completely and knew it would make her job easier having her there. Lark stood watching jealously by the limo and tried not to make it obvious that she was staring. She wished she could hear the conversation, but she wasn't close enough.
I've been great, Rain. How about you?
Could be better. As soon as I finish with this babysitting mission, it will be the hell of a lot better.
Rain answered with disgust at their latest assignment as she glanced over her shoulder at Lark for Danielle to get the drift.
Isn't that Lark Morgan, the actress?
She asked as she tried to catch a better glimpse of the woman.
The one and only. She's also my ex.
Rain answered.
Uh-huh.
Now I see why you hate this assignment. Hang in there, buddy. Danielle answered with a smile, rubbed Rain's arm for comfort as the pair made their way to the limo. Rain knew their interaction was killing Lark, but she didn't care. She didn't mind getting Lark believe something romantic was going on between her and Danielle, despite the fact that they were just good friends. Lark climbed into the back, followed by Rain, and each sat on opposite ends of the back seat, looking out the windows.
It shouldn't bother me that she has found another, But it does because I still love her. I was such an ass to do what I did and drive her out of my life.
Lark admonished herself. She turned to look at Rain, who was deep in thought as she looked out the window.
Is she a girlfriend or lover?
Lark asked nervously. She wondered why she asked the question. Rain turned and looked at Lark with stormy blue eyes.
That's none of your business.
She snapped as she looked back out the window. Lark turned her head towards the window and looked out as tears streamed down her face. She wondered if Rain would ever forgive her for her indiscretions, and hoped that one day she would. She still loved Rain with all her heart, despite the fact that she turned to another, and she desperately wanted Rain back. She believed that Rain is her soulmate, and wished she had realized it 6 months ago. The limo pulled up in front of Rain's apartment building, and Rain stepped out first to check the area before Lark exited the limo. They both headed towards the entrance of the building, and Rain stayed close to Lark's side as they approached the gate and held it open for her playing the part of a girlfriend well. They both entered the apartment, and Lark checked the spacious place out.
This is a really nice place, Rain,
she replied as she sat on the couch.
Rain entered the living room. What type of engagements do you have this week that we'll have to be attending?
Three movie premieres and one award show,
Lark answered as she thought about the appointments she had scheduled for the week. Rain headed back into the bedroom and began to unpack her clothes she would need for the week. Rain hurried to pack out her bag as Lark entered the bedroom.
Do you need any help?
She offered as Rain ignored her while she continued to pack.
Look, Rain, I know this is very difficult for you, but don't you think it would be easier if it were more of a civil environment?
Lark asked, hoping Rain would reconsider her demeanor.
Easier for who? You? Why should I be civil to you, Lark? What reason would I have to do that?
Rain answered with anger and sarcasm.
Because you loved me at one time. Isn't that reason enough?
Lark shot back.
No! It's not enough, Lark. Key word here is I loved you at one time. No more. So, to answer your question about me being civil, no, I can't.
Rain answered matter-of-factly as she closed her travel bag and headed into the other room to gather her paperwork, laptop computer, and equipment for checking for hidden cameras and bugs.
Fair enough.
Lark answered dejectedly and entered the living room as Rain threw her bags over her shoulder and headed towards the door. Rain and Lark made their way to the limo, with Rain keeping Lark close to her side as they surveyed the area for anything out of the ordinary, as Lark climbed into the limo. Danielle put the limo in gear and headed off towards Lark's new condo. The ride was quiet until the limo pulled up in front of Lark's condo to find a crowd of photographers waiting for her.
Bite me!
Rain exclaimed as she looked out at the people waiting for them.
How the hell did they know we would be here?
Rain exclaimed in disbelief.
You should know by now that they know more than the damn government when it comes to finding people for a picture.
Lark answered with regret that she had to face the paparazzi.
Are you ready for this, Rain?
Lark asked with concern as she looked over at the attractive Secret Service agent, who made her heart melt every time she looked at her.
As ready as I'm ever going to be, I guess. Stay very close to me, do you understand?
Rain asked with the firmness of the voice to get her point across to Lark that she was very serious.
How can she ask that question when she knows I love to be close to her, but she won't allow that anymore?
Lark thought to herself before responding.
I understand completely.
Okay. Danielle, bring my luggage and laptop in behind us.
Rain ordered as Danielle nodded in agreement to confirm the orders.
Let's get going then.
Rain answered with a deep sigh. She opened the door and threw her equipment bag over her shoulder.
Rain, are you and Lark back together again?
A reporter shouted.
Rain, what brings you back?
Another asked. Rain ignored the reporter's questions. She held the door open for Lark to step out of the limo.
Hey fellas, back it up so we can get out.
Rain replied with agitation, as the door to the limo slammed into Rain's back as the photographers shoved their way closer for a picture. Rain shoved the door back into them and held her hand out for Lark to help her out as she braced the door against her to keep her from closing it again. Lark stood and looked up as emerald green eyes met piercing blue. Lark swore she saw a glimmer of hope for two of them in Rain's eyes as she hesitated momentarily to stare into those sexy blue eyes longer. The lingering stare of Lark's made Rain feel uncomfortable, and she broke the look as she stepped back for Lark to step away from the car.
Lark, what's the story?
One photographer shouted.
What does it look like?
Lark answered with a mischievous smile as Rain put her arm around Lark to keep up the facade and pulled her close to her while she scanned the crowd for anything out of the ordinary. as did Danielle, who moved to the back of the limo to get the luggage. The gesture sent a rush of warmth through Lark, and her heart skipped a beat, as she enjoyed feeling so close to Rain.
"Looks like you two are back together again,"
someone shouted.
"Hey, give him all the money in Fort Knox or figure out the best-kept secret first,"
Rain replied sarcastically, as Lark laughed along with the other photographers. Rain guided Lark through the crowd towards the entrance to the building.
"Are you too happy?"
someone shouted as the pair turned back to face the questioner.
"Very happy. Thanks,"
Lark answered with a smile. She leaned up and kissed Rain on the cheek.
"Ecstatic,"
Rain answered, with a strange smile to hide anger for what Lark just did to her, as she'd hurried Lark up to the door and held it open for her to enter the heavily guarded building. The security guard sat in awe as the famous, most beautiful blonde entered the building.
"Close your mouth, boys, or flies will collect in there. She's with me, so eat your heart out."
Rain laughed as the pair made their way into the elevator, arm in arm, despite the fact that inwardly, Rain was seething with anger for having to pretend like they were in love again. As soon as the doors closed to the elevator, Rain moved away from Lark as quickly as possible. Lark was disappointed as it felt so right to have Rain in arms around her. Rain's touch always told her just how much he loved her, and Lark still felt it from her.
"It's just that I want to feel that. Or does she still love me despite all her hate for me? Maybe. I can only hope,"
Lark thought as she stole a quick glance of Rain, who remained silent and looked through her bag. Lark loved to look at Rain. Hell, who wouldn't? She was gorgeous. Tall, dark, muscular, the exquisitely beautiful blue eyes that Lark lost herself in. She had sexy yet cocky demeanor about her that attracted Lark to Rain in the first place, and a wonderful sense of humor, despite the latter being hidden from her all her hate. Lark felt extremely guilty for what she had done to Rain. All of Rain's wonderful traits to her personality were gone and replaced by disdain and hate caused by her betrayal. What she saw now was just a stoic Secret Service agent who was cut and dry, all business. Well, other than that outburst of anger she inflicted on Lark.
"I know I saw a glimmer of hope in those sexy blue eyes. Maybe we would talk and hash everything out, we might have a chance of reconciliation. A true one, not a manufactured one,"
Lark thought to herself.
"Hey, Lark, come out of La La Land,"
Rain replied sarcastically, as Lark looked up at her, confused.
"Huh? What?"
Lark asked as she snapped out of her thoughts that she lost herself in.
"This is your floor. Let's go,"
Rain retorted shortly. She walked off the elevator and headed to the apartment number listed on the file her director had given her.
"Oh, yeah, okay,"
Lark stammered nervously. She followed Rain down the hall to her new condo. Rain noticed the door was open a crack and heard voices inside the apartment. She pushed Lark back behind her as she leaned up against the wall out of sight to see if she could decipher what the voices were saying, as she opened her jacket and put her hand on a gun just in case. Lark's heart raced nervously as she stood behind Rain and put her hand on Rain's waist to feel more at ease by making connection with her. Rain glanced over her shoulder at Lark when she felt her hand on her waist and turned back listening to the conversation. Rain recognized the voice as being Danny's, Lark's accountant. Rain leaned her head against the wall and let out a sigh of relief, or was it a sigh of angst that she was going into the frying pan? She thought the reporters outside were bad. These people were going to be worse, asking far too many personal questions, and these are the ones she really has to convince that the whole setup isn't a sham. Lark leaned close to the Rain and whispered in her ear,
"What's going on?"
Rain felt Lark's breath on her neck, which, much to her surprise, excited her. She looked at Lark and caught herself staring into Lark's green eyes a little longer than what she wanted to.
It's Danny and the rest of your group,"
Rain stammered. She calmed her excitement.
"Phew, I was worried,"
Lark answered, relief.
"Remember, one of these people are in on the whole thing, Lark. Don't be so quick to be so trusting of them,"
Rain answered sternly as she moved away from the wall and laced her fingers around Lark's, which took Lark's breath away momentarily from her touch. Rain led her into the apartment, and everyone was at first shocked to see Rain, but then were excited to see the two of them back together. Rain was greeted by Danny, Lark's accountant, Elaine, her agent, Frank, her lawyer, and Hazel, her longtime maid, cook, and jack-of-all-trades. One other person approached that Rain had never met before.
Rain, this is my personal trainer, Kim. Kim, this is the love of my life. Meet Rain."
Lark replied as Rain squeezed her hand tightly at Lark's comment, letting her know that she didn't particularly like what she said about her being the love of her life.
Hello, Kim. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Rain answered as she held out her hand to shake the woman's hand, and tried to be as cordial as possible, considering she was sweating bullets from feeling so uncomfortable. The uncomfortable feelings she had when they broke up were consuming her, and she hated being back in that environment.
Same here, Kim answered, looking Rain over with a cautious eye.
Rain took in some deep breaths and stood behind Lark and wrapped her arms around the smaller woman.
Could we have some privacy to get caught up with one another? I've been away a very long time.
Rain asked with a sexy smile on her face. She leaned her chin against Lark's shoulder. Rain just didn't want to deal with the onslaught of all the questions she knew she was about to be hit with, and figured this was a good way out of them for the time being. Lark reveled in how close Rain was to her, and absolutely loved the feeling of her arms wrapped around her. She didn't want it to end and hoped everyone would take their time leaving, so she could stay in that position. She knew the second the door closed, Rain would release her.
How could I have been such an idiot to have hurt this woman that I loved more than life itself, the way I did?
Lark admonished herself as she watched the last person walk past her, knowing her pleasure was about to end. As the door closed, Rain let go of Lark and pushed her away.
Rain, what the hell was up with—
Lark tried to finish her sentence, but was caught off by a hand to the mouth as she looked in Rain's blue eyes with bewilderment. Rain slowly moved towards Lark's ear, and her heart racing with anticipation that Rain would kiss her neck like she used to.
Follow my lead with idle chit-chat. Understood?
Rain whispered matter-of-factly and leaned back to look at Lark, who was obviously disappointed. She nodded agreement that she would as she watched Rain open her equipment bag and remove some equipment that would detect if the condo had been bugged.
So what do you want to eat?
Rain asked as she turned the machine on and scanned the living room.
How about you?
Lark answered mischievously, hoping she could trigger a more receptive response out of Rain than the one of disgust. Rain snapped her head around with a cross look on her face and pointed to Lark to let her know she wasn't pleased with that comment.
Well, you'll have to wait on that now, won't you?
Rain answered teasingly to keep up the charade in case the place was bugged from one of Lark's employees who had been in the condo.
I look forward to it. But until then, how about if we order Chinese?
Lark answered with a defiant look on her face to let Rain know she was tired of her gruffness. Rain scanned the living room, kitchen, and phones, finding no bugs.
Sure. Go ahead and order for us.
Rain replied as she headed to the bedroom to check the rest of the condo, which she found to be bug-free and hidden camera-free. Rain entered the living room while Lark ordered Chinese for the two of them, as someone knocked. Rain opened the door to find Danielle standing there with Rain's bags.
Hey, thanks, I appreciate it.
Rain replied with a smile, and it was obvious that it was this woman put Rain in a better mood than Lark does. Lark looked on with obvious jealousy at the pair's interaction. She knew she was the one who brought all of this on, but she still loved Rain and desperately wanted her back.
No problem. Other than almost having to fire my gun to get through the crowd.
Danielle answered with a laugh, which was shared by Rain. I have a place here and I'm heading off to ditch the limo, so no one will notice me coming back. If you two have to go out, call me and I'll double back for the limo. Also, if you need my assistance, anything goes down, okay? Here's a new number. She explained as she handed Rain her business card with a number on it.
Great.
Thanks for your help, Danielle.
Rain answered with a smile as she watched the attractive agent walk away and close the door after she was out of sight.
Are you just doing that to piss me off?
Lark asked with agitation.
Is it working?
Rain asked with a sarcastic grin.
Do you have to be such a bitch?
Lark asked with a raised voice.
Did you have to be 6 months ago?
Rain snapped back with a low tone in her voice. Lark shook her head in disgust and stormed out of the room and slammed the bedroom door. Rain sat on the couch and wondered just what the hell she was doing. Lark was driving her crazy. It had been easier when she was out of the state and away from Lark for the past 6 months since their breakup. Right now, she wished she was anywhere but here. She grabbed some Advil and downed the pills with some water to take care of her killer headache. She sat back on the couch and looked at some of the things Lark's entourage had brought there for her. She looked at the crystal dolphin statue and smiled fondly at the memory of when she gave that to Lark. She gave it to her for her birthday and knew Lark would love it because she was so enamored with dolphins. She remembered the look of excitement, happiness and love for her that Lark expressed to her when she opened the present. Rain ran an absent hand through her raven hair.
What are you doing, remember crap like that, Rain? What, do you think you're still in love with her?
She wondered to herself. She hoped it wasn't the latter. When they broke up, she swore she would never love another like she loved Lark, and she'd never give her heart to another as she did to Lark, who ripped it away from her. Nope. She couldn't go through that again, and definitely didn't want to do it again. With Lark, no matter how many old fun memories were dredged up, because once a cheater, always a cheater. She thought as her anger filled her once again at the thought of how Lark had cheated on her, them, their love for one another. She couldn't handle the thoughts and pushed them to that secret place she had deep inside, so she could cope with the love she lost. Rain leaned her aching head against the back of the couch and closed her eyes, trying to figure out just how one person's life could become so hellish. She put her hands over her eyes and drifted off to sleep. The visions of her dreams were back again. She thought she had gotten rid of the same damn dream she had over and over again. The dream of her walking to the house with a bouquet of red roses and a huge mischievous smile on her face, knowing she was home from her assignment early to surprise Lark. She couldn't wait to see her love and hold her in her arms. She thought as she quietly walked down the hall and opened the door to complete devastation. Rain jumped out of her sleep from the incessant knocking at the door. She realized that it was no dream. It was reality, and was glad she was awake she didn't have to see it again. She opened the door to find a delivery man waiting patiently to deliver the food.
Sorry, here.
Rain stammered as she tried to wake from her slumber, and handed him some money to cover the bill, plus a hefty tip.
Hey, thanks!
He answered excitedly as he walked off. Rain shut the door and put the food down on the counter. She searched the cupboard for plates and put the food on and yelled for Lark to come and get it.
I'm already here.
Lark answered with a laugh. She entered the kitchen, eagerly awaiting the food. A smile crept on Ray's face from the fact that Lark was standing behind her, and that she just knew Lark had a food radar that went off when any type of food was present. Rain hid that smile on her face as she kept her back turned to Lark while pulling some fried rice out on her plate. She took her plate with her utensils, a Dr. Pepper, and sat down at the table to eat her meal. Lark piled the Chinese food on her plate and headed over towards the sliding glass door.
Damn! I can't handle all this stuff and open the door.
She replied with frustration.
Lark, get away from the window.
Rain replied sternly. She looked up to see what Lark was doing.
Why?
Just do as I say.
Rain answered with agitation. She looked down at her plate.
No, not until you tell me why.
Lark answered defiantly. She put her hands on her hips. Rain's anger inside began to boil. She dropped the fork on the table and stood up with a look of disdain on her face. She moved towards Lark and brushed past her to close the mini-blinds above the sliding glass door.
You just love to piss me off, don't you?
Rain asked with hesitation. She stood face to face with Lark.
What is the big deal to sit out on the balcony?
You'd be an easy target for a sniper, Lark. That's why.
Rain answered angrily. She walked back to the table and sat down to finish a meal.
Would that bother you, Rain, if a sniper took a shot at me?
Lark asked, hoping she would get a caring response out of Rain.
Yes, because they would kill you and I'd never have anyone that I have protected get killed.
Rain answered with complete disinterest in playing Lark's game, and filled her mouth with a fork full of rice.
So, that's all I mean to you as part of one of your statistics for work that you haven't lost someone yet.
Lark answered, upset by her comment.
Yep.
Rain answered without concern as she continued to eat, never looking up from Lark.
Great. Just great!
Lark answered with anger as she stormed off into her bedroom. Rain dropped her fork in agitation and was no longer hungry. Lark frustrated the hell out of her. She wondered if she was because she hated her so much, or because she still loved her. It was easier for her to hate, so she went with that. Rain contacted her director regarding air and hotel arrangements for the trip to California for one of the many movie premieres Lark had to attend starting the next day. He informed her of the afternoon flight scheduled and the itinerary for her to get Lark to the airport and on the plane safely. Rain finished her plans for the trip and did a quick check of the locks and secured them to make sure the condo was secure before bed. She checked the other rooms and headed down the hall to Lark's bedroom, which was very silent other than the static sound coming from the TV. She reached for the door and pulled back hesitantly and reluctantly. She was afraid of what she might find behind the door.
Get a grip, Rain. You two are the only ones in the condo.
She told herself as she cracked the door to find Lark sound asleep on the bed. Rain entered the room and checked the windows to make sure they were secure. Shut off the TV before stealing a glance at the beautiful sleeping blonde. It was beyond her how the woman she loved so much could hurt her as much as she did, and it baffled her even more when she cared enough to take this assignment. She pulled the covers up on her and looked at her momentarily, reveling in how peaceful she looked sleeping, not to mention how extremely beautiful she looked. This interaction was so familiar to her that she caught herself leaning down to lightly kiss her forehead, but stopped when she realized what she was about to do. She shut the light off and left the room to sleep on the couch. The next morning, Rain had a meeting with Lark's staff, explaining that she was Lark's new personal assistant, and she would make all the arrangements for any appearances. She also instructed the staff that she and Lark would only know travel plans for their safety. She would give them a time frame for traveling, and within it, they would leave for their destination at the last minute. Lark's staff was put off, but they knew it was best for Lark. Rain had her suspicions as to who the insider was, and had asked her director to form a file for each individual so she could study them and try to figure out who would gain the most from betraying Lark. Rain's plans worked to perfection, and they arrived in California in the early evening. Rain kept Lark closely by her side as they approached the front desk clerk to the check-in of the hotel.
Hello, I'm Rain Donovan, and I have reservations for this evening.
Oh, yes, Miss Donovan. Here's your key to the presidential suite.
The clerk informed Rain, and as Lark looked on with obvious enjoyment, that they were spending the most expensive suite in the hotel.
There's been a change in plans. Our staff will take the presidential suite, and we will take one of your regular suites.
Rain informed the confused clerk.
Okay. Let me get the key.
She stammered nervously, as Lark rolled her eyes with disappointment for not staying in the presidential suite. Rain handed the staff the key to their suite, and instructed them that if they needed either one of them to call them on Rain's cell phone. The staff left the lobby and headed off to their suite, as the clerk returned with the key to a different suite.
Here you go,
she replied with a smile as she handed Rain the key.
Thank you.
Rain answered with a smile as she leaned down and picked up her bag.
Let's go.
She informed Lark, who looked at her, disgusted. They stood on the elevator silent as usual, and Lark fumed at the change of rooms, as Rain stood laughing to herself, knowing Lark loved to travel first class, and this was just killing her. Rain spent the next few hours explaining to Lark the itineraries consisting of travel plans and how they would accomplish getting her to her different appearances safely. Lark was happy that they would actually have a civil conversation without fighting throughout the entire briefing. She said goodnight and headed off to bed as Rain laid on the couch, studying over the information her boss sent her regarding Lark's employees. She put that away and pulled out her story she had written to proofread and fell asleep after only doing a few pages. Lark woke in the early morning hours and noticed all the lights were still on in the living room of the suite and went out to see what Rain was doing. She noticed Rain was sound asleep and her tall body laid scrunched up on a very small couch she laid on. Rain looked as though she was cold from the air conditioner blowing down on her, so Lark got a blanket to cover her. Lark saw the papers on the ground and picked them up to move them. She glanced down and noticed the title of the paper and looked at Rain to make sure she wasn't awake. She looked back at the paper titled, My Lost Love, and the author read, By Rain. She read a few paragraphs, and the parallels between her and Rain's relationships and the fictitious one in the paper were undeniable. Rain was writing a story of their relationship together. She looked down at Rain, who still slept peacefully, before returning to her reading. She read about the character that Rain was, and how much pain they felt over the breakup, and how much the character still loved the beautiful bond in the story she was described. Lark smiled and realized that maybe there was hope for them yet. She leaned down and covered the sexy woman she still loved. She moved her hand up towards Rain's face and was grabbed tightly around the wrist as Rain felt the presence standing next to her. Lark dropped to her knees as pain as Rain opened her blue eyes to see it was Lark.
What the hell are you doing?
I was just covering you up. You look cold.
Lark answered as she struggled to loosen Rain's grip. Rain looked into Lark's green eyes and saw fear.
Did you think I would hurt you, Lark?
Rain asked, surprised that Lark would feel that way.
Well, I wasn't sure.
Lark answered and looked down at the ground with sadness and unsurety. Rain was taken off guard by Lark's unsureness and her gesture of kindness. Rain pushed an errant strand of long blonde hair off her face and put her hand under Lark's chin, lifting it up to look at her.
I would never physically harm you, Lark.
Rain replied sincerely as Lark locked her green eyes with blues. Lark slowly leaned towards Rain and held her breath, hoping she would allow her to kiss her.
Should I allow her to kiss me?
Rain thought to herself as she watched Lark move closer.
Well, the hell not. I haven't had sex for a very long time, and she's not bad in the role in the hay.
Rain thought to herself as she allowed Lark to press her lips against her own. Tears welled in Lark's eyes as Rain allowed her to kiss her. She needed this connection to Rain so desperately, and she was glad she was able to have it from Rain. Lark moved closer to Rain, who deepened the kiss. Lark broke the kiss and looked at Rain.
Do you really want this?
Lark asked, hoping her answer would be yes. To be continued. Well, that concludes episode 119 of XNU, and that is part one of Indiscretions by Cruz. I'll have a link on my show notes for the website so you can read along as we narrate the story to you. I hope everyone's enjoyed that. If you have any suggestions for future stories for XNU, please send them in to me so I can contact the author and get permission for the show. If you have any song suggestions or dedications, send them in to me at zena.uber@gmail.com. Also, ask for any recipes that you might have laying around, or your mom's favorite recipe, or your favorite recipe. Send them in, zena.uber@gmail.com. Please make sure to check out the website for upcoming news tidbits, as well as just to check out how my thermometer is going for the Lance Armstrong Foundation and the donation goal. If you haven't donated yet, please take a moment out and consider donating. So until the next episode, everyone, take care and enjoy life and love. Bye-bye.